This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
Yes, we are 10 days before Christmas Day on this December 15th, first full day of Hanukkah.
What day,
obviously,
what day does it fall on this year? The 25th, right?
Yeah, 10 days.
What day does
10
it
days
fall
from
on?
Today.
It always falls on the 25th.
You scared me for a second. I was like, 10 days.
Thursday.
10 days.
Next Thursday.
Yes. It has crept up on us. You know why? Because Thanksgiving was so late this year.
It was
and
late.
I hate when that happens.
Yeah.
This morning, obviously, because of the Arctic blast and the snowstorm that happened on game day with the Eagles, Philadelphia schools will be opening late this morning, 10 a.m. delayed start due to the snow and bitter cold. And so if you haven't gotten your one call already for the kiddies.
It stopped snowing at 11 a.m. yesterday or 11:30.
No, yeah. It was still coming down at my house at like 1.
Believe me, I was out still there. What are we doing, a two-hour delay? They have 2 weeks off.
We got
the refreeze.
I think we received our email, voicemail, text message last night about the two-hour delay right around 6:45. But it's cold out. It's only going up to 28 today. What does 2 hours buy you?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Still below freezing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it gives them time because they're rebrining and resalting, I guess.
Okay.
Because in Philadelphia, two different worlds. Okay.
True.
Or three
versus
different worlds. Wherever.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're like even Philadelphia, Montgomery County, if you go over the line, it's a whole different. Everything's smooth. Philadelphia, sheets of ice still. And so you do have some, you know, areas where it's nasty.
Especially the black ice is really what's dangerous.
It's not even black ice in the city. It's like 2 inches of pure ice on residential streets.
Packed down.
Mm-hmm.
Compressed.
Yes.
Yeah, it does suck.
So be safe if you're driving in. So in Philadelphia, we'll have to look at this. You know, it's always fun to say, how many inches did you get? Philadelphia, officially 3.6 inches of snow, but some parts of Montgomery County, which I mentioned, Bucks County, Chester County, Berks County, saw as much as 8 inches. So we'll have to go through this.
That's what we had yesterday.
Eight?
My daughters were measuring it. I was like, oh, that's what 8 inches looks like.
We haven't had a significant snow.
Hopefully you didn't say
like
that to
this.
Your daughters.
I know. I tried to.
I did, but they have no right. They have no idea what I'm referencing.
But seriously, when have we had that significant of a snow 10 days before? It's a shame it's all going to melt.
You know
at the
what?
End of the week.
I'd rather get it out of the way, honestly. I got my winter sickness out of the way 10 days ago.
That's right.
I've got the snow out of the way.
We're filling the quotas.
Once Christmas is over, Dawn, the countdown to spring begins. I'm ready.
I just hate the days. They're darker, longer.
Yeah, brutal.
It is. So depressing.
Yep.
So obviously you want to check childcare facilities, schools, universities, a lot of two-hour delays across the region. I don't see any full-on closures. Looks like everybody's just delaying things. We have an investigation underway, by the way, with police saying that a woman was shot in Philadelphia. Now, this happened over the weekend before the storm, but they're still investigating this one. She was shot, rushed to a nearby hospital by medics for treatment. That investigation is active and ongoing with the shooting investigation group, because remember, that's a special task force here in Philadelphia. So no revelation of a motive, suspect, no further information, just putting that one out there. That happened over the weekend. I think pretty much as far as violent crimes in Philadelphia, not too much talk of that, obviously because of the shutdowns and the storms and all of that. But unfortunately, a violent weekend in the world. And we look at these two mass shootings when you look at what's going on, and that has to do with Brown University, Brown University, as well as down under in Australia. There were people who gathered, obviously, yesterday during services, but as well Saturday praying for those shot in Australia at a Jewish party, because obviously this appears to have an anti-Semitic, tie to it. And a lot of that's what we're talking about with the beginning of Hanukkah at sundown last night. But they were at the churches, synagogues across the region, as well as Betsy Ross House, by the way, in Old City, people gathering for prayer, religious celebration on the first night of Hanukkah. And that was hours after that mass shooting in Australia, for example, at a Jewish party. So Philadelphia police were using marked and plainclothes officers to secure that area, blocking off the portion of Arch Street before and during the lighting of the menorah. Whenever we have these types of situations where there's anti-Semitism, even though it's in Australia, when we have those things, it affects all of us worldwide.
Yep.
And Philadelphia, no different, the suburbs. So church services, but in particular, services at synagogues across the region beefed up security because of this.
It's amazing. It's 2025. We are 26 months removed, 2 years and 2 months removed from October 7th, 2023. And we have to have protected prayer sessions because people want to take the phrase globalize the intifada. So all those numbnuts in college out there that protest on behalf of Palestine and Hamas. Yeah, this is the culmination of it, you dopes.
Yeah, so that the headline this morning as far as Bondi Beach and that terror attack, at least 15 people killed in this horrifying attack on the beach, gathering, thinking about Hanukkah, a religious celebration. And so we have that one going on. The other mass shooting, of course, is the deadly shooting that happened during final exams at Brown University. That shooting, in that one, the headline this morning is that there was a person who was detained earlier. That person is being released. The person of interest detained in connection with Saturday's deadly shooting at Brown University, we're being told, has been released. And so this from police as well as the mayor there in Providence. And so police releasing the man who had been detained because evidence, they say, quote, now points in a different direction. They're not telling us what different direction, but the shooting obviously left two students dead, nine others injured, and many critically injured this morning.
Uh-huh.
The Ivy League school there in Providence, a vigil and community event were held at a local park. That was last night, where the city's mayor, many residents, community members were gathering, but all classes, all the rest of the final exams, everything canceled, as certainly people are terrified by this. And now we're getting that investigators and detectives in this one have to start from the very beginning.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. This has been totally botched by Brown campus security as well as local and state, maybe even federal authorities. They tracked down the first guy who was in a hotel room. He was a 24-year-old from Wisconsin. They found a 9mm with not a scope on it, but like a laser light attached to it. And then as soon as the name was released by NBC and Washington Post yesterday, all of these social media detectives immediately try to look up the guy's LinkedIn page. They find a guy by the same name in Wisconsin and start posting the photo, and it's the wrong one.
This is the worst.
It's terrible.
This is the worst of social media.
Oh.
It really is. It really is. Just stay off your phone.
You're not Columbo.
Oh, God. So is this, can you pull up 14, Phil? So is the person of interest that we have that little photo of or the video of, is that, you can't see anything, but Phil, roll this. Is that still the guy for the person of interest?
I don't know. I do not know.
Because that does look a little shady, that guy walking around in all black.
Yes. And that's the description of the suspect.
Yeah.
Right now, what they're saying is there's no imminent risk or threat to students on campus. But at the same time, they're acknowledging they let go the person of interest, who there's no evidence for, and so that they're starting from scratch on the investigation.
So still a threat to society at large.
I mean,
yeah.
They obviously had the shelter in place. They said was not recommended, was not necessary. And so, it's a bizarre situation that they, on one hand, say there's no threat, but they're canceling everything. And, it's, I don't know if in something like this, do they call the feds in? Generally speaking, the FBI in this one, obviously, you know, is involved. And so the FBI is encouraging anyone with information to share any relevant tips, any photos, any videos. But these kids, they're, you know, taking an exam. This masked armed guy comes in and just opens fire.
Yep. 15, terrifying. Phil, this is the horrifying moment Brown University students run from an active shooter situation. 15.
Oh, yeah. Jogging down the street. Yep, hands up. Just awful.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're thinking it's probably maybe your final day or so on campus for the semester, right?
Well, that's what, when I heard this news, I said, are schools still in session?
It did seem a little late in the month, right?
Yeah, Penn State right now, I mean, it's final exams.
Oh, it is?
This week.
Okay.
Through Thursday.
This is Cut 17. This is the mother of a student at Brown University describing her son, what was happening, currently being barricaded in a supply closet to her to hide from the shooter. Roll this.
What is your son telling you right now?
Oh, it's a nightmare. It's a nightmare. They're in the middle of finals, so they were all on campus studying at the library. And about an hour and a half ago, the first text I get from my son is, Mom, there's a live shooting on campus, and I'm going to run, and I love you. I was like, what? So we've only been texting, and I'm getting live updates from him because we've told him to turn off his phone, not to make a single sound, but he's in a supply closet room on campus, barricaded with 12 students. They've turned off the lights. They've put chairs on their door. One of his classmates is having a panic attack, so the friends are trying to keep her quiet so that no sounds are being made. They have a radio update that they're getting as students, and the most recent update is that there's nobody in custody, and there's an active shooter that's still on campus with some casualties, but we don't know how many. We just know that their situation is not resolved at all. My son is currently safe. Oh, he's in a barricaded room, but they're so frantic. Like, this is just a nightmare as a parent.
You can't even imagine. The shooting happened inside room 166, first floor of the engineering's Barris and Holly building there at Brown University, which is obviously an elite Ivy League school. There was a review session for an intro economics class being held by a TA, a teaching assistant, and the building was unlocked. We have that confirmed. It was the second day of the school's final examination week for the fall semester. So it looks like the first alert went out on campus. You know, every campus, much like here and across the country, they have that safety and emergency management system, active shooter near Barris and Holly Engineering. And so that was 4:22 p.m. on the timeline. That was the first word. The man we know dressed all in dark clothing, a masked man, and he opened fire on these students. So we don't have confirmation of the two students who were killed, their identities, and then nine others wounded during this attack at a final exam review session there in the engineering building. Just a terrifying, horrific situation. Lone suspect described as a male dressed in all black or dark gray. Unconfirmed how the suspect entered the building. However, they are saying the building was not locked. They confirmed he exited on the Hope Street side of the building. And as we've seen, they do have, you know, obviously they're tracking things with surveillance video starting all over. President Trump putting out words stating, God bless the victims and their families of the victims. Many, governor of Massachusetts, Maura Healey, New England Patriots. I mean, many, you know, obviously in that region putting out words of condolences and condemnation.
Mm-hmm.
Horrifying.
Yeah.
So,
probably a parent's worst nightmare, right?
Oh, it is. I mean,
for a college with your boy at school or my daughter's at school. I mean, obviously, I know I'm not trying to peddle fear porn. I mean, these things are very infrequent and they're not occurring any more frequently than they did 15, 20, 35 years ago. But this is the worst case scenario for a parent to get that kind of text message. Mom, there's a live shooter on campus. Yeah. I'm going to run. I love you. Like, it's holy crap.
Hiding in a closet. I mean, there were some stories coming out late yesterday. There was one guy, there was a female classmate, she was shot at least two times. And this guy grabs her and drags her out, and they're hiding. I mean, just terrifying.
Yeah.
So now the whole scenario is bizarre to me.
Yeah. What about campus security? And that's the only video surveillance footage we have. I would imagine Brown University would have more angles of that possible suspect. And we don't even know if that's the suspect there. It just fits the description of the outfit he was wearing.
It's crazy.
Right?
Yeah. Fits the description, but not a whole lot of other information.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
And then another tragic story that many prominent Democrats putting out word of condolences. And this is the one of Rob Reiner and his wife of some 30 years, Michelle Singer, found dead in their Los Angeles home in what police say they are investigating as a double homicide. Police confirming last night the bodies of 78-year-old Rob Reiner's 68-year-old wife discovered inside their $13.5 million Brentwood mansion were, and then they confirmed initially they reported bodies found. Then they confirmed that, yes, the bodies of Rob Reiner and his wife, Michelle Singer, were found. Law enforcement sources, there are some that are pointing to a son who may be, being questioned, but they're being very tight-lipped as far as the search for a suspect.
I don't know. People magazine is saying the son, Nick, did it.
Yeah. I mean, People magazine... So,
claiming exclusive sources.
Yeah.
just so you guys know, allegedly their son Nick has been struggling with drug addiction for years.
They were stabbed to death. That from the authorities. Yeah.
So in 2016, Rob Reiner and his son released a documentary called Being Charlie, and it's supposed to be a semi-autobiographical drama about addiction. Here's part of that interview from 2016. Roll this film.
We didn't bond a lot as a kid. Like, he really liked baseball. I liked basketball, and he could watch that with my brother, but baseball. But I just, when I saw him do that, and it was something that I'm interested in, I was like, wow, like, he really knows a lot. And, like, it made me feel closer to him and be like, yeah.
You're like, wow, my dad's Rob Reiner.
I never had thought about it. And then.
Yeah. It didn't cross your mind, right?
Never.
No. Never watched A Few Good Men. Didn't see that one.
No. But it's interesting that Nick would talk about it in that way because...
By the way, stop for a second. Like, his son is very... There seems to be some issues there.
Just judging off of that from 9 years ago, right?
Well, the first thing he says in that is, we didn't bond a lot as a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's obviously Rob Reiner, legendary Hollywood director, and his wife, who's a producer, and in her own regard... highly regarded, very involved in SAG-AFTRA, in union leadership, Rob Reiner. But certainly everybody would know some of his prolific work in directing. When Harry Met Sally, The Princess Bride, A Few Good Men. His breakout role, obviously, is Archie Bunker's son-in-law on TV's All in the Family. He was Michael, but he was better known as Meathead.
Yeah. Yeah, as I've quickly learned on this show. Who he is and what he was beyond his TDS. By the way, Jimmy Kelly, probably a good time for me to return the All in the Family DVD set to you that you lended me. Lent 2 years ago.
There we go. Sorry.
But I saw that, President and former President Barack and Michelle Obama many prominent Democrats because he was a prolific he was involved in politics, as we know.
YouTube chat dickheads. Stop with the politics. Oh, he hated Trump. Who cares? He's dead. Like, him and his wife are dead. Stop with the politics. Every second, the politics. Oh, they were conservative, so we care about them. They were liberal, so we don't care about them. Shut up. They're people. Oh, God, these ghouls.
People are really saying
you
that?
You ghouls.
People are really saying that in the chat?
He hated Trump. Great.
So you don't care that his own son allegedly stabbed him to death?
So in this one, it was a family member discovering the couple. And that's according to law enforcement sources, that a family member comes in out of concern yesterday afternoon about 3:40 p.m. yesterday, Sunday, where they find, they find the famous, really iconic. I mean, Rob Reiner, I think it's fair to say many are saying legendary Hollywood director, iconic, calling both of them icons. But, you know, somebody who started as an actor moved over into directing. And yes, the truth is he did become very political. And that's why many prominent Democrats got to know him and his wife very well, were dear friends with them, because he was, you know, very involved in politics later in life, obviously. But news of the Reiner's death prompting an outpouring of grief yesterday from politicians, famous actors, producers, praising the pair for their contributions to Hollywood and devotion to causes like marriage equality and early childhood development. One statement was that he dedicated his life to politics. So not, to Greg's point, not a lot of word of parenting or a close-knit family or anything of that nature.
Well, they have four kids, right?
Yeah.
Four married kids.
30 plus years and four kids.
One with a previous marriage, too.
Yes. So blended, as they say. So obviously, I'm sorry, a lot of tragedy this morning in the news. I know there's a lot more to get to. We did have on the lighter, brighter side, yeah, Philadelphia all lit up with the holiday season in full swing. And really, I will say, gorgeous yesterday with the snow. I mean, we looked like one of those little globes that you shake up.
It was like a winter wonderland, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, my daughters were loving it.
Yeah.
They threw the snow suits on, the boots. They were out there for a good 40 minutes. Came home, made a big wet mess. I had to clean it up. It was great.
Now, in your area, do you have to shovel or do anything, or does HOA take care of all that?
HOA shoveled. They were out like 8 o'clock in the morning and woke me up. But they don't salt. I had to salt.
Oh.
I was out salting yesterday.
Salting.
So this Arctic air settling in for the first part of our week, and the Arctic blast, I think the high on... You know, the high has nothing to do with it. It's what it feels like in the teens. But I will say this. When you look at the forecast throughout the week, talk about a roller coaster. It's crazy because we're well below, I think they said 15 degrees below what we should be on a day like this, normally on the averages. And then by Friday, wackadoo, it's like, you know, practically 50 degrees. So, well, I guess we get both ends of it. But the good news is, I'm wearing my Eagles green. Yeah. At least
Eagles.
We did not have four in a row.
By the way, I almost called that to the exact number.
Yeah. What'd you say? 34-6?
38-6.
38-6. Yeah. Still not a pretty win, though. They still can't run the ball. Quarterback was only asked to throw it 15 times. But the thing I love the most is Merrill Reese and Mike Quick yesterday on the radio broadcast on WIP. Dunking on their fake news WIP colleagues who spent the whole week talking about benching Jalen Hurts. How you look now, all you chrome domes over there down the hallway?
Not good.
Begging for phone calls by saying stupid stuff. How's that working out for you?
So 31 zip.
You nitwits.
Snapped a 3-game losing streak in a very cold, snowy game,
yeah,
where Jalen Hurts... touchdowns.
I mean, they beat the Raiders. Can we not, like,
whatever?
Know, can we they stop did, with but the parade?
A win is a win.
They did what they... Not only did they covered. I've seen plenty of bad teams beat good teams when you don't take them seriously.
By the way, the best...
That's a good win.
The best game yesterday was actually the Bills and the Patriots.
I had that on the two TV at the same time.
That was way better than
the split screen.
Yeah.
The Eagles game.
I had the Eagles game on one TV, but I muted it. And I had the Bills Patriots on the other game, on the other TV. They were great. So was the Broncos, Packers, and so was there was another one. Lions, Rams was pretty damn good until the Rams pulled away.
Did you watch Philip Rivers?
I did.
Throw his first touchdown.
He 45 years old.
Yeah.
He literally.
Father and grandfather. How many kids do they have? Oh my goodness.
10 maybe? Yeah, 11?
Like, I love
He had been retired for 5 years.
I love that story.
And
I
they just signed him this week.
I love how people, because, you know, we're the same age. So I love how people are like, old man, fat old man, Philip Rivers throwing touchdowns. I was like, oh,
he almost beat 10 win Seattle.
I know.
It was great.
So a lot to cheer in the world of sports. We needed some good news for sure.
Yep.
We are sponsored by Piazza Auto Group this morning. During the holiday love celebration, get exquisite offers on a new 2026 Mercedes-Benz GLA, GLC, or GLS featuring the very latest in style, safety, and tech. The most festive season has arrived. Visit Mercedes-Benz or Westchester, Wilmington, or Atlantic City today. Piazza Auto Group, thank you for sponsoring our first edition of news. I will say, traditionally, I say to my husband, I want three things for Christmas, jewelry, but I could also say Piazza, Mercedes, you know what I mean? We could have fun with that, kind of upgrade it. So thank you, Piazza Auto Group.
There you go.
And Nick, you know, this Arctic blast continues through the day and through, well, pretty much through tomorrow.
That's right, Dawn. Currently 19 degrees, only going up to 28 today. But with the wind chill, it will not feel 28. But we do, as you mentioned, we will have progressive warmth throughout the week, culminating in 47 as your high on Friday, as of right now. And then on Saturday, temperatures possibly getting to 50, but rain showers. All right, we'll come back to a Monday big take on the other side of Kale and Company, and we'll do that coming up next. But first, let's talk about the holiday season, holiday gifting, or if you're entertaining for the holidays. Either way, Omaha Steaks, they have you covered because they deliver the world's best steak experience, and they know exactly what you are gifting. We're talking about USDA-certified tender steaks, premium proteins, elegant sides, and decadent, indulgent desserts. And you can shop the season's top gourmet gifts at omahasteaks.com. But here's the added incentive for you, the listener. Use promo code Nick to get $35 off your purchase. That's right, omahasteaks.com. Pick out all of your meats, your desserts, your sides, and when you go to checkout, enter the promo code Nick to get $35 off your purchase. We did the filet mignon a few weeks ago. Last week, I did sirloin burgers wrapped in bacon, a couple of sides, including scalloped potatoes. By the way, of all the ways you can make potatoes, scalloped potatoes, unbelievable. Very underrated. Should be atop the power rankings for potatoes, in my opinion. Omaha Steaks offers unrivaled quality and variety, and every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. And right now is the perfect time to save on these delicious gifts and holiday hosting favorites. Five generations of uncompromised quality. After all, it's been America's heartland butcher since 1917. OmahaSteaks.com. Use the promo code Nick at checkout for $35 off.
Joseph Anthony Retreats, Spa and Salon. Oh, just think about this. On a frigid day like this, maybe your back is killing you after shoveling all of that snow. Why not take a retreat? Have a little spa day for yourself. Or what about the fact that it's the secret to finishing your holiday shopping this year? Visit their locations, Glen Mills, Springfield, or you can just always go online, josephanthony.com. Gift cards are always available. That's josephanthony.com. Thank you, Joseph Anthony Retreat, Spa and Salon, so we can say, ah, give them a spa day, the perfect gift this holiday season.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Kale and Company, Nick, Dawn, and Greg here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Hopefully all of you having a great start to your day. We have a lot to get into on the show today. Cut Sheet coming up 7:45, and of course another round of fights as we kick off a Monday Fight Club around 9:10 this morning. But before all of that, let's get down to business. Time for a Monday morning big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company,
which is brought to you by Staples. The Big Take: words are not violence. Violence is violence. Another weekend in the books and more violence across the United States of America and in Australia. And I've reached a point now where I am 1,000,000,000% done with people and their feelings. I don't care if you're on the left. I don't care if you're on the right. Words are words. Violence is violence. There is no gray area whatsoever. And on Saturday, we had a mass shooting in Providence, Rhode Island, as Ivy League think tank Brown University was wrapping up final exams. Then in Australia, late Saturday into Sunday, we had a terror attack as Hanukkah got underway. Radical Islamic terror attacks down under and a mass school shooting in New England. And when they say globalize the intifada, this is precisely what they mean. And for all of you Gen Z, Gen Alpha, Millennial, and perhaps even Gen Xers and even boomers out there, if you are pro-Palestine, you are a sick person. If you believe what Hamas has done is justified, you're ill-informed. Now, you can certainly criticize the Israeli government, as I have and many have as well. You can certainly criticize Bibi Netanyahu. But the difference is, the last time I checked, Jewish people weren't walking around a free society committing terror attacks in the name of their faith. Radicalized Islamic extremists are. And that's not to paint with a broad brush and smear all Muslims. I'm talking about the ones who have been corrupted and are not peaceful. Let's start with Australia, since we know much, much more about what happened down under. On the first night of Hanukkah, Jews were attacked at Australia's Bondi Beach, leading to at least 16 deaths and 40 injured. Here is video recorded by a civilian of a brave Australian man seizing a firearm from an armed terrorist. Listen and watch this. Parking lot right here. Gunman opening fire.
Oh!
Brave person sneaks up between two cars, wrestles the firearm away from said terrorist. That man right there is the hero. And this is the culmination. And maybe culmination is not even the correct word, but this is 26 months now of anti-Semitic behavior that has skyrocketed globally in the aftermath of October 7th, 2023. And keep in mind, Australia does not have a Second Amendment and the right to bear arms. And if they had, maybe so many deaths would not have occurred. And I will never live in a nation that doesn't allow me the right to protect myself or my family by legally owning a firearm. Now, viewer discretion advised, here is some of the aftermath of what occurred. Listen and watch. Bodies everywhere, CPR and first aid being rendered, good Samaritans trying to assist in any way as first responders and authorities arrive at the scene of Australia's Bondi Beach. Unbelievable. Just a horrific scene. And this is what happens when you have these ideologies that get galvanized, metastasized, and put into practice. Now let's work our way backwards now. Brown University in Providence, Rhode Island, mass shooting on campus on Saturday, multiple dead, double digits in critical but stable condition. Manhunt ensues, misinformation everywhere. The university thought they had the suspect, then they retracted the statement. Local, state, and federal authorities on the scene, shutting down the entire campus. Eventually, they thought they had found their suspect, 24-year-old Benjamin Erickson of Wisconsin, Army veteran, only to release him just hours ago. Here was inept law enforcement giving the latest update. Listen and watch.
Shortly, we will be releasing the person of interest who had been detained earlier today. And the Attorney General can speak a little bit about the rationale for that. But we want to inform the community that that individual will shortly be released from Providence Police.
And according to reports yesterday confirmed by the New York Times, Washington Post, New York Post, and others, the original person of interest, who is still at large, quote, yelled something before opening fire, but it can't be confirmed what he said. So the speculation ensues. Was this religiously motivated? What was his digital footprint? Is this PTSD if it was, in fact, somebody with a former military background? We have no details, but we do have video footage of students locking down. Again, viewer discretion advised. Listen and watch this.
Everybody get your hands. Just keep your hands up for us. Obviously, there's something going on. We're here to help you. Just listen to what we have to say, okay? All right, breathe. Anybody hurt? No? All right, just listen to our commands. We will get you out of here safely. Is this it? Is this the group?
If you have your bags, your phones, go grab it now. Quickly.
Go, 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 quick, go.
In orderly, fast. Let's go.
Let's go.
Good job.
Which brings me to some of these woke, weak college students. And no, I am not referring to the students in the video, but in general, with the theme of the big take, words are words, violence is violence. According to thecollegefix.com, quote, 9 in 10 college students now believe that words are violence, survey shows. They write, 9 out of 10 undergraduate students think that words can be violence, at least somewhat, according to a new Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression survey shows, that is the FIRE organization, which is headquartered here in Philadelphia. The poll also showed that ideological gaps between left-leaning and right-leaning students are widening. When respondents were asked how much the statement words can be violence describes their thoughts, 47% answered with completely or mostly, while 28% said it describes their thoughts somewhat, and 15% said slightly. Additionally, around 59% of students said silence is violence, describing their views at least somewhat, though only 28% said it describes their thoughts completely or mostly. There is an increasing issue in this country with words. The assassination of Charlie Kirk has impacted students' willingness to engage with controversial events, affecting half of the respondents' desire to attend or host such events. I got news for all the college kids out there. 9 out of 10 that think words are violence. After seeing what happened at Brown University, after seeing what happened in Australia, do you still think words are violence? Do words kill? Do words come with assault weapons? Do words leave behind injuries, trauma, and lockdowns? I think you should toughen up a little bit, because the real world is not like academia. And if you're not ready for it, I suggest staying on campus the rest of your life, getting a PhD, publishing books, and giving dissertations in lecture halls. Words are not violence. Violence is violence. You saw it in Providence. You saw it in Australia. You saw it in Rob Reiner's house. And the connection between universities and what's going on with globalizing the intifada can no longer be ignored. And that's the big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
Brought to you by Staples. Have an easy holiday only at Staples this year. Save on top tech and gaming gifts, plus shipping supplies and services to get your packages there safely. Don't forget custom cards, invites, photo gifts, wrapping paper, and more. Staples. That was easy. 855-839-1210 if you want to jump in. On social media at 1210 WPHT, and of course in our YouTube chat.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
Dawn, I know you gave us the news with Brown and Australia. News cap off. Your thoughts, takeaways from these two events and where we are today.
Well, I also heard that in Australia, which has among the strictest gun rules, you know, in the world. They are now looking at, with this deadliest shooting since the 1996 shooting at a Hanukkah celebration, They're looking at even tougher gun laws because they feel that that's the answer, but perhaps that's not the answer.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when we talk about these, you know, it's sad to me when people say that, that words are violent, or even the terms that we use that become a cliche, the term assault weapon. But the truth is, there's no assault weapon, just like there's no assault car. Mm-hmm. The drunk driver gets in the car, or the bad, reckless driver gets in the car and harms somebody. Same with any firearm. This guy, I guess he was, you know, it's unusual, but this shooter, they're saying, had some kind of a special license that you would have to have. Because the question is, if they have among the strictest gun laws in the world, how did this shooter, how did he even have all of these firearms and long guns? So I guess he, you know, you have to go through some hoops. You have to, you know, apply for hunting rifles and that sort of thing, and only a few people get them. Well, this guy obviously was able to get them.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So I think, you know, the fact that, that it's believed that somehow political violence or hate, you know, hateful, you know, like on this one, when we think about the beginning of Hanukkah and we have all of this happening, we don't have the motivation for Brown. And like you said, you know, that the guy yelled, the masked gunman yelled something. Well, what did he yell?
Right.
Everybody's speculating because, you know, not for nothing, but if he had yelled something that, you know, if he had yelled something that had to do, that was pertinent to, let's just say, the current administration or supporting the current president, I guarantee you that phrase would be out there. So
oh, of course.
What was this phrase?
Well, yeah.
What did he yell? Why are they not being transparent?
And the sick part of all of this, it didn't even take a few hours for Democrat Senator Chris Murphy from Connecticut to jump on CNN State of the Union yesterday with Dana Bash and start bashing Trump and the fact that we don't have stricter gun laws in the United States of America. I'm actually looking at Chris Murphy's Twitter feed because he posted his interview with Dana Bash, the video clip, and he tweets, President Trump has been engaged in a dizzying, purposeful campaign to loosen our nation's gun laws and cut mental health funding for kids, knowing this would increase mass shootings. He's in the pocket of the gun industry, and our kids are the casualty. Then he follows up with 13 years since the unspeakable day in Sandy Hook, 13 years of a growing movement to make sure that kids feel safe every year, everywhere. And he's rambling on and on and on again. But like, you just nailed it perfectly. So let me ask you something, Chris Murphy, and everybody out there that wants to do a gun grab and restrict our Second Amendment rights, or say, well, we're not trying to take away your Second Amendment rights, but do you really need insert whatever weapon you'd like to own? Australia has the strictest gun laws on earth. And we just saw 16 people killed, 40 injured by allegedly, I think it was Lebanese radicalized ISIS members was the latest report I saw on the specifics of these suspects. And I think there was two of them that I know of for sure that have been ID'd or at least thrown into the mix with all the reporting. You really think if we had Australia's gun issues as far as restriction that we would avoid? If you like, this is one of the things, in my opinion, if you want to commit a mass casualty on any place on earth, you can. If there is a sick, deviant will, there's a sick, deviant way. And you're not going to change that. Whether they're radicalized Islamic terrorists, whether it's a transgender shooter in Nashville or Aurora, Colorado, or whoever this suspect is at Brown University that's still on the run, whether it's Luigi Mangione, whether it's trying to take out Donald Trump twice, whether it's taking out Charlie Kirk, gun laws are not going to change that. And I would like to live, as I said in the Big Take Dawn, I'd like to have the ability to protect my family. God forbid, knock on wood, that the Powerball pays off and I'm in a setting one day where I'm at a Target getting sneakers for my kids for back to school, and somebody that can't handle what's going on between their ears decides, I'm going to shoot up a Target, right? You'd like to be able to defend yourself against somebody, but in Australia, you don't have the right to do so. What do? You don't fight fists with firearms. What did Sean Connery say in The Untouchables? You don't bring a knife to a gunfight.
By the way, 45 here. This is cut 45. One of the Bondi Beach terror attack survivors says the police officers did nothing for 20 minutes.
Oh.
While the terrorists opened fire.
And they have, the right to have a gun.
Two police officers are among the 40 in the hospital, so they were doing something. They're in very serious condition.
Roll this.
Can you tell me what happened?
Yes, it was two shooters, one on the bridge, one under the bridge. Just started to shoot for 20 minutes. They shoot, change magazine and just shoot. Simple as that. 20 minutes with four policemen there. Nobody give fire back. Nothing, like they are froze. It looked like 20 minutes, and they shoot, the guy change magazine. I look at him all the time. I was with two of my babies under me, and I look at that. And it's just rifle and a pistol. And just shoot. And the other one was under. They start to come close to the audience. One of the people come, took his rifle and shoot him. That's one of them. That's what I saw. I didn't know how much I saw, but...
Who were they targeting?
Oh, all the crowd. Anyone. Jewish. Just shoot. Doesn't matter who. Man... All kids, everyone was no.
Did they say anything?
I couldn't hear. Like the shooting was so loud, we couldn't hear. They say I was too far. Like he was on the bridge, I was near the tent. So, but I saw. I look at him. I look what he shot. I look at his rifle. He aimed. He did. He really like take his time. He should take his time. And four policemen there didn't give. Fire back. I don't understand why. Wow. Why?
Well, I'll tell you what. If his account is accurate, and again, it's an allegation.
We don't know. He admits he's far away. I mean, there were two officers that are hospitalized.
Yeah, like I said, if his account is accurate. I mean, that seems like Uvalde to me. Like, what are you doing? You're paid. This is your job. You're trained for this type of stuff.
But if they're not to Dawn's point, well, to both of your points, like I think that this account is probably accurate because their cops are not used to firing guns. What do they need to? Like, what are they needed for?
Well, we don't know their position as well.
Right.
I mean, this was a packed area celebration for the beginning of Hanukkah, and you know there were families out there. The youngest victim is a 10-year-old little girl. The oldest is an 87-year-old grandparent, a rabbi, is among them, the 16 killed. But then you have the two gunmen. So what's up with the gunmen? A 50-year-old father who was killed at the scene, but then a 24-year-old son is in critical condition right now. And so these people were in this country legally, according to accounts, and the 50-year-old father had this gun license, this hunting license, since 2015. So what is up with these people being indoctrinated decades after being in a country, you know what I mean, and coming there legally, having a job, having a family? It's a 50-year-old father, his 24, like, what is going on here? And then they found in the vehicle these ISIS, or ISIL, whatever you want to say, flags.
Yeah.
So what is up with these people being indoctrinated and it's happening online?
Need better vetting, too, at your borders. I mean, think about this. Novak Djokovic, the legendary tennis player, was banned from Australia and competing in the Australian Open 5 years ago because he wouldn't get the COVID vaccine. Yet this guy is somehow in Australia and, of course, linked to a terrorist organization. Hey, Australia, why don't you get your priorities straight? 855-839-1210. And I mentioned Novak Djokovic there and the COVID shot because we have new details on the COVID vaccine, courtesy of the Food and Drug Administration and all of the outrage that is already ensuing based on what the FDA has decided to slap on the box of that vaccine. We'll get to that as we kick off hour number two of Kale and Company, Nick, Dawn, and Greg, here on a Monday on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.